This is episode 206, recorded December 19th, 2014. Packard pokes at Packard's hot white tea. I want to thank Joe Unseen from the chat room for this week's show title.
Stuff your stocking with Packard Pokes at merchandise this holiday season. Give your honey a hoodie. Give your mama a mug of Christmas cheer. Let Packard Pokes at help you find that last-minute holiday gift. By shopping at cafepress.com/PackardPokesat, you not only fill your holiday shopping list, you help support the show.
Do you like Packard Pokes at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. Or else we'll poke you in the eye. I don't know.
Karn will poke you in the eye with his penis because he loves saying the word penis.
That's that pickle in the tree.
We call those fried pickles out here.
Fried penises. Oh wow, we just degenerate. That was pretty quick for this show. We're already in the gutter. That's our bottle of Mad Dog. I don't know.
Right, exactly. And join us from the far south of me, anyway. In the Illinois land is Dana, Talking Primate.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the lamb and further redeemed by a long shower.
I was saying to myself and to my daughter, like, tonight we're going to have a good show, no problems, and it's already off the rails. It's Packard Pokes at. If you expected more, I'm sorry. Hey.
Jokes on you.
Jokes on you. You get what you paid for. Nothing.
Yeah, why haven't you paid? Where's our money?
Where's my money?
Feel free to donate to this fiasco.
That's right. If you donate to the fiasco, I'll do better. I promise I'll try to do better.
Packard actually drives a Ford Fiasco.
I actually owned one at one time. I did. I actually owned a Ford Fiasco. That was a terrifying experience.
For you or for the other people on the road?
Me. No one could see me.
For the car.
Plus the car kept falling apart. But that's neither here nor there. So.
Well, you needed a 3D printer.
Yeah, well, then I would have. You know, then I could just print it out a whole new car.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, let's get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. We were kind of joking about 3D printing a new car, but this has been the year for 3D printers. They are becoming more available to a lot more people, and they are doing a lot more things with them. Before, when they were just started out, you know, you get these little lumps of whatever that you're printing out, and you know, like you could make a little snowman, little Santa or whatever, or a little figurine of yourself if you're so inclined and had the resources to do so. But some people are doing much more amazing things with this 3D printer. There's a systems out there, it's called 3D Systems, and one of the designers who worked for 3D Systems adopted a dog that had a problem. The dog had malformed front legs. The dog, you know, doesn't know any different, really. I mean, he tries to do what a dog does, you know. And his name is Derby, and he's a very cute dog. But the thing is, because this person who happened to work at this 3D Systems place adopted him and made for him prosthetic limbs, basically. If you've ever seen from the early 80s, maybe late 90s, where you've seen people with big half circles underneath their shoes so they could jump higher or whatever, and you know, those things are like ankle breakers because if you've landed on wrong, you're going to break your ankle. No doubt about it. But in this instance, that's just to give you an idea what design of these things look like. The lady who adopted this dog, Tara Anderson, she designed them with some of her coworkers for her dog, Derby. And there's a great video attached to this. When you get a chance to look at it, and there'll be a link at packardpokesat.wordpress.com. If you're not crying, or at least have a tear in your eye, because this story is just so amazing.
Yeah.
Connie, your thoughts.
Do you want to build a snow dog? Yeah. This reminds me of the running blades that mm-hmm. a lot of people have, you know, amputees have. And the really great part about this is how the dog's deformity is, I don't want to say it's terribly common, but it's kind of common. It's like the front legs aren't quite there. It could be increased or decreased in size depending upon the dog. They started out this dog on wheels or, you know, running blades that are slightly lower because the dog is used to crawling. And so you can increase it as the dog becomes used to running on these blades. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, imagine, because one of the cost prohibitive things, if you have a child who's born with deformities and needs, you know, a prosthetics, mm-hmm. the cost of the prosthetics as the child grows.
Yes.
And this is something I don't know anything about, but I know we've talked a lot about graphene or other materials mm-hmm. that are extremely strong and resilient. And so, you know, if somebody could actually have a pattern and make a pattern of the actual stump that you're attaching limbs to, you know, and just increase it with size as somebody grows or an animal grows mm-hmm. or a smaller dog or a bigger dog, this is really fantastic. And I think that the more people that work on this and have these machines, it must become more cost effective, you know, for
oh, yeah.
because I think that would be a really a prohibitive thing about getting prosthetics for amputees. So, and yes, thankfully there's no Sarah McLachlan music playing on this video, but I was just in there crying like, oh my God, that dog is so happy.
Yeah.
It was happy before, but now it gets to run and do things. And I'm just like, yay, that's
oh, I know. It was just great.
Christmas present.
Yes. And the thing is, that, yeah, you hit it right there. The dog is a lot happier.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, I was amazed, really. Yeah. I mean, the fact is that we're able to do this now. I mean, what was really the best part about this was they said it even in the video there that instead of having to build it and then try to size them out and then, you know, go, oh, well, we need to change this. They can do it right out there on the fly in the computer and they can see problems right away. And this way, if they print out something, they can go, oh, well, there's a problem here. So we just, you know, scrap that and we can just reprint it. We don't have to do it a dozen million times.
Right.
Dana, your thoughts?
Well, one thing's for sure. You'll never be able to tell that dog to sit and stay again. This is one time that I'll say that I'm glad something actually went to the dogs.
Yeah.
That story's gone to the dogs. Oh, that's a good thing. I don't have too much to say above and beyond that. I mean, you had a dog born with a deformity.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings stepped in, science, and fixed it. And it's great. So the only thing I'm wondering is if we can 3D print something for Republicans that will get their brains working again.
That's called a crowbar, and you can get those at any reputable tire shop.
I've been waiting all night to say that joke.
Oh my God.
You're welcome.
If they only had a brain.
If they only had a brain.
You could print them one?
Yes.
Yes.
Anyone have any last thoughts on this?
Yay for doggies.
Yay for doggies. Yay for science.
Yes.
And logic. And speaking of science and logic, we're going to move on to our next topic.
Teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh, responsible, practical.
We're doing something new here at Packard Pokesat. We're doing a little game. It's called Name That Fallacy. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to read off a typical fallacy, and we're going to give you four options of what the possible fallacy is. Here's the fallacy. Using evidence from an unnamed expert or study or generalized group, like scientists, to claim something is true, is it A, appeal to ridicule, B, design fallacy, C, ad hoc rescue, or D, appeal to authority? Whoever gets it first.
I know what the
appeal to
what
authority.
What do you think?
Yes, I agree with Karen too in the chat room.
What is? Oh, sorry. What is appeal to authority.
It's not Jeopardy, but you
darn it.
Yes, D, appeal to authority. Yay! Now what we're going to do is we're going to take a little time and discuss why that's an appeal to authority.
Yeah, because they're you're just dropping names. You're like, hey, because Moses said that 2 plus 2 was 8.6, he has to be right. So that's a really bad example. I didn't want to use somebody reputable. No. Because Ken Ham said that the dinosaurs. I can't do it.
You had me at ham.
Yeah.
Hashtag banana.
Hashtag banana.
That's right. No, all religious arguments are appeal to authority, technically.
Yes, they are. Because, for example, most Christians will appeal to the Bible as their authority. Of moral authority, because they will say that the Bible says so, therefore it's true.
That's also circular reasoning, by the way.
Yes, it is also circular
reasoning. That particular one is definitely circular reasoning. The Bible's true because the Bible's true.
Yep. Yep.
But that is a topic for another discussion.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, well.
Good at this game.
What's that?
I'm good at this game.
Yes, you are.
This is a new thing.
Yeah, this is new. Don't everybody panic. This is new. We're still working the kinks out on this, so
I'm still writing the theme song too.
All right.
Fallacy. I was living with a fallacy.
Fallacy, it's a thing.
You have to do. It's time to play Name That Fallacy.
Well, where were you 5 minutes ago before the show started? Anyway, the appeal to authority basically is you're appealing to somebody else because they are a supposed expert or claims to be an expert. In most cases, a fallacy when you say if it's a scientist, for example, who has a credit to his name and is talking about the subject that he actually studies, that's not such a bad thing. That the appeal to that authority is not necessarily a bad thing in that instance because they are an authority in those instances. But when you say, oh, there's a group of scientists that don't believe
planet change is real.
Yeah, planet change is real. Global warming exists.
Or that the world is, more than 6,000 years old.
Right, exactly. Right. And so, therefore, because they're scientists, even though this is the field of their study, they must be right because they're scientists. And that's, you're appealing to authority. In that instance, that would be a logical fallacy.
Exactly.
So appealing to authority is not always a bad thing, but it is when the person who's giving it as fact actually knows nothing about the actual topic.
Well, that's why citing your sources and providing proof of where you got this from is so important because everybody else can look at that and read it and evaluate it.
Right. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I've just had an epiphany.
What's that?
All of my life, I've been told that 4 out of 5 dentists recommend Trident to their patients to chew gum, and now I don't know.
That would be an appeal to authority. That's actually a good example of appeal to authority. Because you have 4 out of 5 unnamed dentists. They could be supposedly dentists. We don't know. So
ad agencies use this a lot. Yes.
Yes. That is actually a great example.
Oh, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz.
Yeah, there's another great appeal to authority. Anyway, if you would like to make a donation to the show, you can go to patreon.com/PackardPokeSat, where you can donate as little as $1 once a month to the show, and you can help keep the lights on here, keep the show running, and keep this great entertainment flowing, and keep us laughing at ourselves. And believe me, we love to laugh at ourselves. But if you would like to get in contact with us, we're going to give you all that information right now.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or packardpokesat@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter as @packardpokesat and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/packardpokesat or just type packardpokesat into the Facebook search bar. Call or Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixler Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt to support the show. For everyone that rates us, you are awesome sauce.
All righty, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. The lights are on, but you're not home. You're mine, not your own. There's no doubt, you're empty. There's been a lot of talk about torture in the news. In fact, there's a report that just came out about how the United States was torturing a bunch of people that were over in Guantanamo Bay under the Bush administration. That's a newer study that just came out that it turns out that Christians are more supportive of torture than non-religious Americans. What's interesting here is the numbers. The gap between torture supporters and opponents widens between voters who are Christian and those who are not religious. Just 39% of white evangelicals believe that CIA treatment of detainees amounted to torture, with 53% of white non-evangelical Protestants, 45 white Catholics agreeing with that statement. Among non-religious, though, 72% said the treatment amounted to torture. The poll, of course, did not break down non-Christian religions in the result. 69% of the white evangelicals believe that CIA treatment was justified, compared to just 20% who said it was not. Those numbers, incidentally, roughly mirror the breakdown of Republican versus Democrat voters among white evangelicals. Three-quarters, 75% of white evangelical Protestants outnumber the 22% of their brethren saying the CIA treatment was justified. White Catholics believe that treatment was justified at 66 to 23% margin. What's interesting about this whole story here is that the fact is that people who don't believe in a deity, like most people who listen to the show and who are on the show tonight, don't believe that torture is something that we should be doing. In fact, there was a Republican that came out not that long ago. He said, oh, well, there is no lasting effects of torture, which is total bullshit. Just a couple weeks ago, my daughter and I were in a car accident. And when we're out driving, if I have to stop suddenly or a car looks like it's going to hit us for whatever reason, my daughter, when she's in the car, she freaks out a little bit. So to say that there's no lasting effects is total bullshit. This was a minor effect. This was just, you know, hit from behind and, you know, it's done and over with. Nobody was seriously injured and everything is fine. But the thought processes behind it still linger. And with torture, it's going to linger even more. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting because the evolution that I've come through personally since I was a Christian after I deconverted is that I don't stand for, you know, America just barging in and going to guns. I don't sanction any kind of torture. It's really interesting because I think that, and I could be wrong, you know, maybe it's just because I was an evangelical fundamentalist kind of a Christian. I was born again Christian in the, you know, 70s. And so, that whole Dominionist movement also was very much a part of my experience. And the conservative government's always right. But also, you know, let's put it this way. If you are going to go ahead and torture and kill God to gain your entrance to heaven, I just think that not a hell of a lot is off the table when it comes to how you treat other people.
Yeah.
And if you think that man is basically sinful and he has nothing good, all of his good works, if you know, like Gandhi, according to I won't say all Christianity, but, you know, the majority of the Christianity we see, they would say that Gandhi's works were like filthy rags. And when they say filthy rags, they mean something like tampons. All right, that's exactly what they mean. Bloody bandages.
I didn't know that.
I've spent a lot of time taking classes and studying scripture way back when, and I would like to forget it all. But yeah, I realize not every single Christian feels this way. And as I looked at the demographics, I could see where the very vocal, you know, mainstream people who are feeding off of the tit of like people like Pat Robertson, or I don't know, maybe the Pope or the they're the ones who are saying, yeah, but this is okay, because they actively hate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they feel about themselves, and so you can only love other people the way that you love yourself.
Right. There was just a cut in here for just a moment. No,
I'm done. That's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There was a Pew study done on this from 2009. Unfortunately, there is not one that's a little bit more updated. This is just a breakdown. It says that a total U.S. population, sample size 742. I don't know if that's 742,000 people they factored in, but 15% said that it can often be justified. 34% said that can sometimes be justified. 22% can rarely be justified. 25% can never be justified. And 4% said they don't know or refuse to answer. Now, what's important here is that's about 50-50. It's really close. However, when you break it down to white evangelical Protestants, 18% of them said can often be justified. And then 44% said sometimes can be justified, whereas can rarely be justified was only at 17%, can never be justified at 16%, and the don't know or refuse to answer was at 5%. So it really breaks down really fast on this, and it shows that predominantly, not all, I'm not going to say all, because if I said all, not everybody agrees on everything. There's no way that everybody agrees on everything. But predominantly, that white evangelical Protestants, in this example, were more in favor of torture. Dana, your thoughts?
Okay, a couple things. First of all, thank you, Connie, for talking about Pat Robertson's tits. To bring it full circle here.
That'd be disgusting.
That's a little depressing. No, I think what I really like to see on this is the fact that liberal Democrats are actually the least in favor of torture. And right above them, according to the Pew Research study that Packard was referencing, atheists are right above them in terms of how little they support torture, how against torture they are. Of course, conservative Republicans, top of the list. So, and that's depressing. Now, which means that basically I'm going to have to start liking all my liberal Democrats over atheists, damn it. Shoot. I'm going to have to find another group to alienate. You know, the people who the general population views as having no morals, we kind of win the morality war, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard now not to make the assertion here that religion lends itself to violence. Because, I mean, of course, we know that's kind of a fact. I mean, regardless of how nice, in quotes, religion can be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's pretty much religion's endgame.
Yeah.
You know, convert or die.
Oh, now, yeah.
And I can't say that about everyone, because that would be the ding, 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 no true Scotsman fallacy.
Yep.
But here's one thing that actually I thought it was very disturbing, hilarious, and disturbing again. Tom Hartman did an interview with our old pal Brian Fisher recently, and it's really creepy to watch, because when Tom Hartman asks him if Jesus would support torture, Brian goes into one of the scriptures, I don't remember which one it is actually, and says that, you know, Christ would be in favor of torture, when I thought Christ was a giant pacifist. You know, the same guy that said, oh, you're going to hit me on this cheek, hit me on this other one too, bud.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And then Tom Hartman asks Brian Fisher, he says, just let me ask you a question, because one of the things that they did to some of the detainees, would they would actually, you know, string them up and then rectally feed them.
Oh, yeah.
So Tom Hartman just asks Brian Fisher straight out. He goes, who would Jesus rectally feed, Brian? And Brian Fisher just kept repeating, parroting, actually, just, advanced interrogation is not torture. And he said it like 5 times. Like every time Hartman would try to push the issue, he would say, advanced interrogation is not torture. Advanced interrogation is not torture. He would just keep saying that over and over again, because he had nothing to offer.
Yeah.
So, and I guess when your savior is, you know, a guy that they beat in the streets and then strung up to die, maybe that's just your MO. Maybe you're okay with, I mean, hey, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for the Guantanamo people.
Yeah, maybe they should have anally fed Jesus while he was up there, you know. Say, hey, Jesus, you hungry? Okay, we're going to take this rice and we're going to shove it up your ass, you know. This is just morally wrong. I mean, I see this as something that we should not be doing, because it's not just because it's just the bad thing to be doing to somebody, but I wouldn't want it done to me, and there is nothing to be gained from it. In fact, a lot of the information that they claimed that they had gotten, turns out they didn't get anything that was credible or worth anything at all. In fact, going back a number of years, there was a KGB spy, or someone who worked for Russia when it was still Russia, came over here and defected to the United States. And they didn't believe him because they thought he had information about the Kennedy assassination. And he said, no, he worked alone. We didn't have anything to do with that. But they thought he was lying. So they tortured him for months and months on end. And they never gained anything. And he was cooperating before they started torturing him. And to sit there and say that, you know, torture is going to bring you more information, it's bullshit. The guy was already working with us and was cooperating. So to try to extract more information out of somebody who's already cooperating is absurd. Anyone have any last thoughts on this?
Not really. I can't believe that in this day and age that it's okay to torture somebody. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, what is the old story about the wind and the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is the one that, you know, get the man to take his coat off?
Right. Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
And I don't think that, I don't know how far I take this, but I don't think that my personal feeling of vengeance and anger supersedes somebody's human needs.
Right.
And I think that even the most heinous criminal is still a human being. And, you know, I just don't think that torture is ever right. I don't think that it's right.
Exactly. I don't think it's right either. It's a horrible thing. Anyway, speaking of things that are not horrible, though, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They're an Atheist, we're going to be talking about Bruce Wright. Now, he's not a big celebrity like, you know, like the people out in Hollywood. In fact, he's a judge. Bruce Wright was one of the first black justices on the New York Supreme Court. He wore black robes, white justice, a harsh critique of institutional racism and America judicial system. Although Wright was educated in Catholic schools, he eventually became a non-believer, like his agnostic West Indian father. In an interview with Peter
Occhio Grosso,
thank you, published in a book named Once a Catholic, Wright said, "The church is superstition to me. I'm a lawyer and I look for evidence. Haven't seen a Holy Ghost, haven't seen a God or anything of that sort. And I read the Bible and instruct my children to know something about biblical history, either as literature or as fiction, as they wish. I think they should know something about it, especially when you have a season such as Christmas and they might be strangers or babes in the woods." And he continued, "I have no religion. I am probably would be called an atheist, probably by other people. I often am, but that's their problem. That's not my problem." Kind of your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a very interesting path that this man took. And quite coincidentally, because we didn't search it out this way, if he was still alive, it would be his birthday today. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1917, so he'd be all, you know, like 97 years old. Anyway, I would have loved to have actually read some excerpts of the three books that are noted to him, and they will be, I will make sure that the links for finding those books are at packerpokes@wordpress.com. He has a book of poetry, and he has two books, one an authorized book by him, Black Robes, White Justice, and then an autobiography, Black Justice in a White World. He, you know, this is a guy who, a man who was awarded a scholarship to Princeton,
mm-hmm.
but he was denied entrance because he was black. And he was known as Turn 'em Loose Bruce when he was appointed to the New York court system, because he just felt that, you know, people of color, different races, were unfairly, you know, bail was being unfairly set. And so, you know, he wasn't turning them loose as much as he was trying to do what he said. My name should be civil right. His last name is spelled W-R-I-G-H-T. And he has a street named after him in Harlem.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he passed away in 2005 of a heart attack. You know, talk about a man of his convictions, and all the prejudice that he encountered motivated him in life to make a change and make a difference. And, you know, given the events of the last year and the unfair treatment that we see the black people or people of other races enduring, you know, in the justice system and out in the streets, we need more people like Bruce M. Wright. We need more justices and judges and lawyers like him. So, very inspirational man. And kudos to you, Packard, for finding that, because it was a really interesting read. I wish I could have read his books. I need to find them and you know, read them.
It was a pure chance. Luck of the draw.
Or was it? Let's put on our tinfoil hat.
Put on my tinfoil hat now. Right. Dana, do you have any thoughts on Bruce Wright?
I do, actually. I think a lot of people don't think about it, but black atheists are kind of rare. They're certainly not the majority of our camp, that's for sure. Their numbers are actually extremely low. I did a little bit of research on this, and in 2011, that's the last study that they did, it was, of the entire African-American population, it was less than 0.5%.
Oh, wow.
And less than 3% of all atheists are black. So they're not really super popular. I've seen some groups on Facebook and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually the largest one, I think, is called Black Atheists of Atlanta. And
I've heard of them.
There's definitely a few of them. So how do you say this without sounding like a racist? Really, it's one of the weird... They're just an enigma to me, because it's like the same book that kept them in chains is the same book that they think is going to set them free. I just can't wrap my head around that, and that's something. And finally, it wouldn't be a show with me on it without making fun of this somehow. They called him Turn Me Loose Bruce.
Yeah.
Is that right after you get out of jail, Gail? Gotta give him the key, Lee.
What's the plan, Stan?
That's right. Gonna make bail, Hale.
just kind of building off of what you were talking about there earlier, Dana. There's a great quote by Frederick Douglass, who was black. He said, "I prayed for 20 years, but I never received no answer until I prayed with my legs." Basically, he was a slave at that time, and he kept praying to be set free and
freedom
and for freedom. Yeah. Basically. So, no, you're pretty much right on point with that. I mean, it's not racist. It's just that's what it was. So,
well, you know, so much of what religion does is that it's about community. And I have to wonder if, you know, blacks or Hispanics, you know, feel the need to identify so much with, you know, family and people in their community that they will endure religion just because it's a social meeting place, you know, and it's a way of connecting. And it probably has less to do with the deity as it does with, you know, just like, I don't want to be excluded. I mean, I understand that, but I don't know if that's what it is.
Exactly. That same study that I saw, and it said, the one in 2011 said that 67% of blacks attend church regularly. That's a really high number. And just over 80% consider religion in their lives important. That's why we don't have too many black atheists.
Yeah.
Well, but how many other demographics do you throw into this? Do you throw into this poverty, the broken family? I'm just thinking out loud here. But yeah, no, I mean... I do get that. How do you reach these people?
Yeah. Well, Dana, do you have something else you wanted to say?
I did until I realized that you and I both said well at the same time. And I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
I'm good for that.
It's like jinx.
Right. It's you owe me a soda now. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Look him up, Bruce Wright. There were some books that Connie mentioned that he's apparently written. And
yeah, they'll be at thewordpress.com.
Yeah, they'll be at packetpokes@wordpress.com.
On the link.
Yes, on the link there, and there'll be more information on that. In the meantime, we have to get out of here. But if you want to, please go to patreon.com/packetpokesat, donate a dollar. Or if you can't, please go to iTunes and rate us, or go to facebook.com/packetpokesat and rate us there as well, or at least like the show.
I like the show.
Yeah, I know you do.
Wouldn't be on it if I didn't like it.
Exactly, exactly. And we're almost to 100. We have almost 100 likes on the page. We just need a few more. We need about 4 more. So come on, there's at least 4 people out there who have not liked on the page. What if you're waiting for? Don't wait any longer. Please go to PackardPokesat, or go to facebook.com/PackardPokesat and hit that like button today. Anyway, we will see you next week with our regular longer show, and we have a guest coming up. Not next week, but the first long show of January, and we'll have more information on that as we get closer to it. So come back often and take a listen to us. We'll see you then. This has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.